Well, good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
Certainly glad to see each and every one of you. Glad to have this opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. I'll get right into my subject this morning. I want to take a portion of scripture from the book of Mark. This is the end of the book of Mark, and it's what I want to deal with, one particular thought that Jesus said in it that we want to deal with this morning, that's misunderstood mostly by the religious world that we live in, but hopefully we can set the record straight about it this morning. It's Mark's version of what happened to Jesus after the resurrection is the shortest version of all the gospel writers. So it's a very short version, but I always found this amazing about this particular rendition of what happened after his resurrection. There were two occasions in which the apostles did not believe. And Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief. And as soon as he rebuked them for their unbelief, he gave them a commandment that the religious world refers to as the Great Commission. In other words, they think of this commandment that Jesus gave as a commandment to go out into a world of dead sinners and preach the gospel, that they can hear it, believe it, and be born again. But that's not what this is all about.
Right.
And we're going to see it, just exactly what happened. I want to read a few scriptures before I get into the thought that I have on my mind. We'll begin there, verse 12, chapter 16. Verse 9. We'll begin at verse 9. It said, "When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him," that is, the apostles, "she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept." They were in a mourning, weeping condition because Jesus had been crucified and they had him no more. So they were mourning, they were weeping. Mary Magdalene and the other women had been to the grave. They saw the stone rolled away. They saw the grave was empty. They actually saw Jesus there, although it took a while before Mary recognized who he was. And then she went back and told the apostles that she'd seen the resurrected Lord. And it says, "And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not." Now there's an unbelief there.
Yeah.
Mary said, "I've seen the Lord. He's resurrected. I've looked at him with my own eyes." And they believed not. That's a sad situation. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Now I believe this is those that two men that were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus was walking on the road, and he just happened to come upon them, and he overheard their conversation, and he asked them about what it was they were talking about, and they questioned him about, "Are you a stranger in these parts? Do you not even know about Jesus who was crucified, who we thought would be the Redeemer that would come and rule over Israel?" And so they went and told the apostles, and the apostles believed not them. They had seen the risen Savior. Not only had seen him, They had spent the night with him. They had broke bread with him. It was a while before they recognized who he was. They said, did our hearts not well up and within us when he broke the word of God unto us? Yes, they saw the resurrected body of Jesus, went back and told the apostles, and they did not believe them either. Afterward, it says, Jesus appeared unto the 11, and as he sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief, for the eyewitness testimony of three individuals that had actually seen the resurrected body of Jesus. Jesus, after he rebuked them for their unbelief, then gave them what others refer to as a great commission. Yes, it is a great commission, no doubt. It's very critical and important to the children of God. But it is not a message to go out and win souls to go to heaven. It's not that. And then after he rebuked them for their unbelief, for not believing those that had seen him after he was risen, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now here he was. He told them to go out to preach the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is the message of how Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. It's a message of how after he died on the cross that he was taken down and buried in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He laid in that grave for 3 days and three nights, and on the third day he came forth from that grave, giving us evidence that God accepted his offering for the sins of a multitude of people, that God the Father chose and elected in a covenant of grace before the world began. Now that's the gospel. Now here Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that word creature is a very interesting word. When I think of creatures, I think of all kinds of things. I think of squirrels. I think of rabbits. I think of tigers. I think of lions. I think of all kinds of creatures. But he wasn't saying, go preach the gospel to every single living creature. That word creature has a specific meaning, and it means this: go and preach the gospel to everyone that God has created in Christ Jesus our Lord. Go unto everyone that's been created by the power of God and given life to receive and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go into the world and preach all that God has created. That's the creatures that he's referring to. He's not saying go and teach it to all men everywhere, because there's lots of men out there that won't receive it. There's lots of men out there that can't receive it. There's lots of men out there would think you were foolish to even say it to them or preach it to them. He wasn't talking about preaching to those that cannot, will not, and do not receive the gospel. He's talking about preaching it to those that have been born again of the Spirit of God, created in Christ Jesus. And he is telling them here to go and to preach the gospel to them, that they might believe and be saved. saved. That word saved there is a temporal salvation.
That's right.
It's not an eternal salvation.
Amen.
It's not so that they can be born again and go to heaven.
Right.
It's so they can believe what Jesus did for them. And they can spend their life in the hope of Jesus. A hope that's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. A hope that every child of God that hears the gospel and believes it and serves Christ will experience throughout their life, from the time they hear it and believe it until they pass on from here and go to heaven. It's a timely, temporal salvation under consideration. Now what I want to do this morning, I want to go to some scriptures, and we'll start in the Old Testament where the born again children of God experience this temporal or timely salvation. We'll begin over in the book of the Psalms. David here penning this psalm, he says some things to the children of Israel, those who were God's born again children. He says this, and in saying it, they are believers, they are followers of God, and as a result, they experience timely salvation in their life right here in this world. David says here in Psalms 91, he says, because thou hast made the verse 9 of the Psalms 91, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Why is this coming to them? Because they've made the Lord their dwelling place. They've heard and believed the message that the Lord is their God. And as a result, they're experiencing these timely deliveries. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash their foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder and young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Yes, indeed, this is all an expression of what God will do for those that are believers in him, even in the Old Testament, as God expressed it here in the book of Psalms. All these wonderful things that we experience in life because we are believers in God and believers in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now we want to turn over to the New Testament, and we'll take an instance here. I always like this particular story about this man. And I can remember going to Israel. They showed us a tree. It was a sycamore tree, and they said this was the sycamore tree that this man Zacchaeus climbed up in to see Jesus. Now Zacchaeus He was a very interesting character, not very well liked by the community because he was a publican. He was a tax collector, and he had a little problem with his tax collecting against the people. Sometimes he charged people a little more than just what they would use to the government for taxes, and keep a little of it on his side. So he had a little problem with that. And so here was Zacchaeus. I believe Zacchaeus was a born-again child of God, even though he wasn't very well liked in the community because of the employment that he had. But yet I believe he had a desire, and he had a desire. He heard Jesus was coming to town, and he wanted to see Jesus, who he was. He wanted to get his eye fixed on Jesus. Yes, he did. And he did everything possible to make sure he didn't miss out on the opportunity. When Zacchaeus climbed up into that sycamore tree, why did he climb up into that sycamore tree? Because Zacchaeus was a short man. And if he was out there in the crowd, he couldn't see over anybody. So he'd just be looking in the back of somebody's back and not being able to see Jesus. But he knew if he climbed up in that sycamore tree, he'd be over the top of those people and he could see Jesus, who he was. He had a desire to see Jesus. He had a desire to see who he was. And so he climbed up in that sycamore tree. That's found in Luke chapter 19. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacharias, which was the chief among the publicans. He was rich. I was Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now how surprised must Zacchaeus have been for Jesus to look up and see him in that tree and say, Zacchaeus, come down. I believe Jesus knew he was up in that tree before Jesus ever got there. I believe Jesus didn't have to look up to know that Zacchaeus was up there. First of all, there's no indication in the scripture ever that Zacchaeus and Jesus had ever met. That's why it was so important for Zacchaeus to come. He wanted to see him. He'd heard about him. He wanted to know him and see him. So how in the world did Jesus know his name? He just knew he was a man up there in that sycamore tree. But Jesus knows the names of all his children, and he knew Zacchaeus, and he looked up into that tree and he told Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now why did Jesus want to abide at the house of Zacchaeus? He wanted him to experience salvation. And Zacchaeus did, in fact, experience that day salvation with the Lord. And reading on, it says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. Now you see, here was Jesus. Now to the others, I've already told you, Zacchaeus, he was known to kind of swindle people. He wasn't the best known person. They knew he had done things wrong, and they knew he was a sinner. They knew it. He had done things that he shouldn't have. And here was Jesus going home to be with a man that's a sinner. Well, I'll ask you this. What were the options? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If Jesus went home with anybody that day, he'd have gone home with a sinner. There's no doubt about that. So they were questioning him. This man, he's gone home to be with a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." Now, what was Zacchaeus doing here? Zacchaeus was repenting. Zacchaeus was repenting of the wrongs that he had done to others. Zacchaeus, he said, I'll return to any man I'll give half of my goods, 50% of all I own, I'll give it to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him four times as much as I have taken from him by false accusation. Now, you know, the typical legal situation in that day would have been he restore the man the money that he took plus 20% usury. That would have been typical, but he went way further than that. He restored every man fourfold. Zacchaeus was really doing some repenting. And when he repented of that and made these statements, Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now let me tell you about a lost man. A lost man is not a dead person. A dead person is not lost. How can you say a dead person is lost? He ain't looking to go nowhere if he's dead. A lost person is one that's alive and one that's lost his way and needs some direction into the correct and proper way he should go. So Zacchaeus was lost, and Jesus went, and Zacchaeus on that day experienced that day salvation, a temporal salvation from believing and following God and repenting of his sins. Yes, indeed. We want to look at one other scripture in the book of Acts. This was a scripture in which Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were having a service at midnight, and it says in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said this, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" The answer to that question was, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Yes, this man sought salvation. I can say this without any a reservation. Anytime you read in the scripture a scripture that tells someone something to do to be saved, that is temporal, timely salvation. Right. Because eternal salvation comes to you from God, and you don't do anything to get that. It doesn't come as a result of anything you do or ever have done. So anytime the question asks, what must I do, or what must a person do to be saved, you can count that as a temporal, timely salvation. Without reservation, that would be true indeed. So this man asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's that same salvation that Jesus promised over there in that what the religious world refers to as the Great Commission. Believe the gospel, and he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Does that mean damned to hell? No, it does not mean that. Let's just all think through this a minute. Think what a condemnation it would be if you were a born again child of God and you feel the weight and the burden of the sins that you commit, and it just overburdens you. And you don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe that he paid for your sins. What a condemnation that would be. The scripture says he's condemned already. He's condemned because he's a sinner. He's got the Spirit of God, and he feels the weight and the burden of sin in his life. But the gospel message of Jesus Christ is the only thing that'll save him from that condemnation. Yes, this is not, this message in the book of Mark is not go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's not and he that believeth shall be saved. That is a temporal, timely salvation. And we have all experienced it because all of us here have believed the gospel and are followers of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed. Temporal salvation comes as a result of hearing and believing the gospel and following Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you is my prayer. We pray for Brother David now as he comes to preach to us.